Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 166 of Let's Talk Assassin's Creed. We are back. We've had a little bit of a longer break than we thought, just because of we were planning some episodes, and those plans, they've been delayed, but we're back. And we are very much looking forward to Mirage. So first of all, welcome back, new co-host Chris. We're not going to call you new co-host after today, okay? This is the last time. Welcome back, mate.
I like my new title. Anyway, good to see everyone again, and thanks for having me back.
It's good to see you too, mate. Welcome back. And we are joined today by two special guests for this episode. First of all, returning guest. He's been back many times. He's like a boomerang. You know, he just keeps coming back. Arshak, welcome back, mate.
Oh, thank you. You guys are awesome to talk to, dude. And you guys are my friends on the other side of the world. So, you know, it's always a pleasure to come here and talk Mirage.
For those that are listening that don't know you, Arshak, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Arshak. I'm the founder of AC Landmarks, where I give you digestible historical facts about Assassin's Creed. And yeah, we've been doing some bits for the community with Path to Mirage and AC Community Relief and so many things. Just come and check us out on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Ugh, so many social medias.
Awesome. Thanks, mate. And we are welcoming a new guest to the show. So Shadi, welcome to Let's Talk Assassin's Creed. Thanks for joining the show for the first time. Tell us a bit about yourself. Where in the world are you, and what's your connection to this franchise?
Hello, guys. How are you? Very, very honored and my pleasure to be with you today. First time for me to be a guest with you, so my delight and honor. So thank you for having me. I'm Shadi, Shadi Nas, who doesn't know me or don't know me. I'm founder and creator of Assassin's Creed Egypt community back in 2016. Our aim and goal as a first Egyptian community and Arabian community is to kind of gathering all the local fans and communities around the Assassin's Creed. Yeah. Okay, so we can get in touch and have some sort of a gathering and get along. So that's it. I'm based in Egypt, in Giza, Egypt.
You're joining us from Giza. Well, before we get into Mirage, then let's kick off with a question. So, how big was the news of Origins, you know, being in Egypt, bringing a bit of Egyptian history to life? It must have been huge.
You know what? Assassin's Creed Origins recreated Egypt in the most astonishing and amazing way possible. The amount of details and effort put in this game to bring the setting back and create a vast large land of Egypt in that particular time history is to do. So as an Egyptian and as a local guy based in Egypt, I was very impressed.
And now we're returning to the Middle East, and we are returning we're sort of returning to where the franchise started in 2007. We're going to Baghdad, we're going to Alamut. So what I'm really interested to hear from both of you, maybe Arshak, you get us started. So what does this game mean? What does it mean to see this game bring the Islamic Golden Age, bring the city of Baghdad to life? One thing I was really, really took my attention was it was one of the dev interviews a few weeks ago. I think it was Jean-Luc Sala. And he made a point. He said a lot of people in the West, they know Baghdad for two reasons, unfortunately. It's war and it's FPS shooters. And we're going to see a very different Baghdad in this game. And I'm just, why don't you get us started, Arshak? What does it mean to see this city brought to life?
So, yeah, following from Jean-Luc Salah's, quote over there, Baghdad has been known as like the city of war, basically. When you were saying that, I was actually getting goosebumps because, like, you know, it's so personal in video games. But when Jean-Luc said this, I'm like, finally, a game that respects the culture where I come from. I think like past games have included Baghdad as like a city, and it's cool to see Baghdad as a city and like, you know, the Arabic words and stuff like that. But it's much different when you have this like culture imbued over there and like, you know, traditions. You get to see the Gada Arabia, which means like this, it literally translates to Arabic sitting, where people like, you know, just have chai and biscuits. I don't know if they had biscuits back then, but yeah, like.
I mean, if you're talking tea and biscuits, you know, this is fine. We can do that.
yeah, but they would just like chill with like hookah or something like that. Like, it's so cool to see my culture represented in there, and I hope it can be a norm for other video games to not shy away from showing Baghdad not only as like a war city, but like a city that can be changed. Like an example would be in Advanced Warfare, for example, they showed a futuristic Baghdad, which was a bit better, to be honest. Overwatch showed the map of Oasis, which was in Baghdad. Of course, it's a fictional city, but again, having the flag over there of Baghdad was like really cool. But Assassin's Creed, that's where you get the premium experience. So yeah, like, you know, it's so awesome to have it.
I can feel for Arshak as a local guy, and seeing his country or seeing his city being well represented. So yeah. You can describe that feeling.
One thing I fortunately got to play the game early to like discuss my impressions of it, and I didn't say this yet on Twitter. I probably should, but one,
I'd just like to say, Arshak, on this show we don't encourage our guests to break their NDA, so don't say anything you shouldn't say.
Oh no, I'm not breaking NDA. Like that's the last thing I would do. Like I wouldn't even do it. But
you should definitely break your NDA and tell us everything. Tell us everything.
All right. So like, let's go. So you know where Bassam was gonna. okay. So, So when I was playing the game, I was just casually like strolling by, and an NPC character was commenting on Bassam's like parkour skills and stuff like that, and they said, "When did Baghdad become so dangerous?" And I was like, "Darling, you don't know." But yeah, that hit me. That hit me personally. But it's also good to like recognize that like this city was peaceful, but now it's a dangerous city. Hopefully it can become peaceful again so I can visit it.
Indeed.
I mean, you said it, James, that the only time you really see it in gaming is with first person shooters, which tend to be war games. So for people to get a look of this city in a game that's not completely surrounded by war and tragedy, then this will be really, really good. And if there's something that Ubisoft's always good at, it is recreating cities from a long ago time and make it feel real. So it'll be really nice to see.
Especially with Bordeaux right now, like Bordeaux is just showing so much dedication to like to both of the fans of the Assassin's Creed series, both the OG fans and the RPG fans, which that, like, you know, it goes a long way.
Yeah. Shadi, so we've had hints that the game would go to Baghdad from some leaks and data mining a couple of years ago. We've seen clips. I think it was at the PlayStation event last summer. We saw the first gameplay or the first few screenshots. I forget now, but we've had more and more content released. Some people have had early access and published video essays on their experience. What are you thinking? What are you seeing in the game? Do you like what you're seeing? Is it a recreation that feels good to you?
I have two points that may be the most exciting points about AC Mirage. First thing is that the amount of details and appreciation they show or keep showing, and dedication to represent as an Arabian city with Arabian culture faithfully, and the way they were truly so they the first thing, they put much efforts to create that immersive experience of Baghdad. By the way, we say it in Arabic, Baghdad, not Baghdad.
Yes. There's not really an equivalent sound in English. It's quite hard for us to do, but we can practice. Yes.
And you should live in Baghdad.
we can say it in Egypt. It's the golden city. We still say it up to till today. The second most exciting point about Mirage is that the developers really give it a shout to return to the roots and try to transform the RPG formula to kind of respect and give it a try to abide by the old formula of the roots that we all love about the first games of the franchise. So this return to roots phase with in Arabian city, give us can we say a call to home to the first AC games world. So yeah, it gives chills as a Arabic fan.
Indeed, and I'd like to add to that, like, this game has everything. It has taken historical research and put it on over there. It has quite a few historical sites that we can see, and it's very hard to find historical sites in Baghdad, because they're all almost, well, gone thing. But it's so cool that when you play the game, the game tells you how many historical sites there are over there, and you can explore them I also love the fact that the world map of Assassin's Creed Mirage has these like illustrations of mosques in there, which tell you like, oh, maybe I'll go visit that mosque or visit this mosque. And mosques were a big thing in Baghdad. And of course, you're going to hear the adhan in there too. Yeah. Well, the thing like when they showed that, like everyone was like, I'm buying this game. And yeah, it's inclusivity. Yes. It's inclusivity and it's respect to the culture that this game is going to be hopefully one of the most profitable for Ubisoft. And they'll see that short linear games are like, you know, good to fund their efforts into, you know.
I can add that the amount of positive feedback that our community, our local community in Egypt or even the Middle East shows about this game, especially after featuring the Adhan, the Muslim call to prayer, is astonishing. There is no other a game studio or video game company does this particular things to Arabian community or any other thing like it in a game. So yeah, it gives people the amount of energy and hype to buy the game immediately. So yeah.
That's fascinating. So you're saying this is the first game you think to feature the call to prayer as a sort of a...
Yes.
This might be a question for you, Arshak, because you've had some time with the game. When we hear the call to prayer, what's the word that you use for it?
Adhan. Adhan. It's basically A-T-H-A-N.
Okay, Adhan.
Yeah.
When you hear that in the game, do the NPCs react? Is there like a procedure that runs and the NPCs all head towards the mosques at certain times of day? Or is it just a bit of background flavor, should we say?
I'm going to be super honest with you.
Yes.
I was way too busy getting content for the game.
Fair enough.
Oh, shame. Because that's one of those little things. I suppose it doesn't matter, but it'd be interesting if the world reacts.
Yeah,
to those like is there a day night cycle? We know. I would assume the NPCs are on day night routine. So would they also be on a routine that responds to the call to prayer? You know,
I would suppose so. I would suppose so. But yeah, I was just like so caught up in like parkouring and and
oh shame on you,
using the stealth elements that like. I had like 2 hours with the game, so I think
fair enough.
1 hour was for the mission that they had us on, and 1 hour was like, feel free to explore Baghdad, but don't go past this point. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, but I want to go there. And they're like, well, you can't. I'm like, well, in 1 month I can.
It's not long now. So, I mean, we're recording this on the 16th of September. This episode will go out in about a week. So we've got 2 weeks.
Yeah. In two weeks, if you're listening to this in 2 weeks.
Mm. Yeah. I can't wait to play it. I am looking forward to it. It's it looks great. The city looks absolutely beautiful. It looks packed with things to explore. What you said earlier, Arshak, was something I wanted to discuss today. So there won't be, as far as we know, a separate discovery tour mode, but Basim himself will be visiting historical sites and unlocking historical knowledge of the city. Is that right? As part of the actual main game?
Yeah, so like the historical sites are different from like the database that you can get. There is a historical site where you can physically go over there, but there are a lot of fragments around the world that you can go touch. and learn about it. I would say it acts almost like it acts exactly like in like Assassin's Creed 2 when you would go to for example Santa Maria del Fiore, right? And then a prompt will pop as like in the database. So it acts like that. I thought that's cool. But yeah, I would have loved a full-fledged discovery tour, but you know, we get what we get. At least we're going to see some history. Maybe it will be up to me to give you guys that discovery tour.
Ah, well, mm-hmm. Indeed. We look forward to that. I got a question for all three of you, and I'm going to ask Chris first. So we don't yet know exactly how the game will be structured in terms of how it will be introduced. Will it be sort of linear quests or memories early, and then will it open up? But my question to all three of you, Chris, let's hear from you first. Once the game opens up, what are you interested in doing first? Where are you going to go? What are you looking for? Whether it's just visuals or gameplay, let's hear from all three of you. And what's your first goal?
Well, depending on where it is, really, if you're out in the middle of nowhere or if you're in the city already or whatever, I'd probably do what I'd normally do and find the nearest viewpoint that needs done, and then see what that pops up on the map, and then have a look and just explore the streets basically and collect a few things, and then do a mission here and there, and then collect a few more things. Do you know what I mean? I like just spreading it all out and just soaking it in. That's what I'm doing.
I wanted to add one thing to that. When Chris said, like, you know, find a viewpoint and stuff, I was playing Assassin's Creed Unity yesterday, and one of Assassin's Creed Unity's like first missions is, of course, to find a viewpoint. And for Arno to get from one point to another, it was basically like a parkourable skill of like climbing the building and then going over the trees and then going over Notre Dame, and et voila, you can have like the viewpoint. And I found that like the parkour was so smooth in like Assassin's Creed Unity, but in Assassin's Creed Mirage, you're gonna have like that same experience of like reaching the viewpoints just by a parkourable pathway. Whoa. Which is awesome.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Shadi, go ahead.
Okay. My first thing to do would be probably just chilling around, walking in the streets of Baghdad to see how to firstly listen to some Arabic dialogues and hear the way they talk and captures the culture, captures the moments and vibes of the public. Then I would probably go to a viewpoint and then make sure that the Azan happens 5 days at the day, so five different times a day. So it would be probably fun. I can go and see if it's confirmed by the way that we can actually see public while praying. So yeah, it would be a wow for me, and then we can proceed with the game.
Understood. What's the we've had quite a lot of different developer diaries and videos and so on. One of the things that I knew nothing about until we had some of that content from Ubisoft is Arabic calligraphy.
Yeah.
When we first saw the Mirage logo, I thought, that's a nice logo, but I didn't realize there are words hidden in that logo. Tell us a bit about this what's the right word, this history and this tradition of calligraphy, because it was entirely new knowledge for me.
the calligraphy had a very large history in the Middle East. It began with a very ancient times of even before the Abbasid Caliphate. It had different shapes and different styles. Each empire or each caliphate probably was seeking to add to this kind of art, and it was like it defines a touch of this particular historical period to the fonts. When I see the calligraphy of Miraj, if you're an Arabic, you will realize that it's an Arabic word, but it would be a very hard to understand at the first time you saw it. But you will try to figure it out, and yeah, you will finally get it. It's a hidden one in Arabic, al-makhfi. And also the calligraphy of the Basim skull tree, the three pillars of skull tree, it contains a calligraphy. Back, you remember Arshak? We tried to figure it out.
We deciphered it, yeah, with Mo, Assassin
with M. Assassin M and Irino. We stayed up all night trying to decipher it. So,
we're devoted fans.
See, that's a proper. See, that's video games, right? That's the power of video games. It's not about running around stabbing bad guys. It's about staying up at night, studying calligraphy, and trying to decipher.
Yeah, even narrative director Sarah was can't believe it. We did it. We did it before they even announced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we back then we managed to decipher it, so everyone knew about it. Nowadays they posting it on asynchronous social media, so it's months ahead. So it feeds the calligraphy is very powerful and. Can I say it's a touch of beauty, if we say so. Very essential in a European game.
Yeah, I mean, the calligraphy in there is that was our first taste of how culturally accurate Assassin's Creed Mirage was gonna get, like just seeing the logo, and then for the Arabic community saying like, "Oh, dude, it's calligraphy," and it says hidden one. Yeah, that was like, oh man, I think it took us like 1 hour to like figure that out probably, but yeah, what a way to start, you know?
Yes, it very goes back the fans. I remember AC, the first AC game featured a similar thing to its logo. It were written inside the Asankin insignia. There was a small word written inside it, Aden, which is Eden, as which refer back to the Apple of Eden. So it thought I will. Yeah, you probably will check it out after seeing it. So it was amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. So, what else can we talk with this beautiful game?
I've got another question. This is again, this is probably for you, Arshak, and for Shadi. Tell us about djinns. Tell us about djinns. What are your speculations about the djinn? What does it represent?
Okay, who would start? Arshak or me?
Well, here's like my interpretation of like the djinn. I think they're like an extension of yourself. I think is that Bassem is Bassem is going through a hard time mentally, probably, and I think like the djinn is like that negative voice in you, that's trying to take over. We know it's Loki trying to take over. But
spoiler alert. No.
Yeah, I mean, guys, it's been 3 years. You should have played Assassin's Creed Valhalla by now.
By the way, if you haven't played Valhalla by now, you've got 2 weeks to get through it, and good luck.
Yeah. God. It's a great narrative, but yeah, it's so long. But yeah, like, what do you have to add to that, Shadi?
To speak about djinn or djinns, I might go a bit even into the religious of Islam. We as a Muslims, back then in Baghdad, most of people were Muslims. In the Quran, the holy text of Muslims, it sentence that the jinns are creatures like revelations from Allah or God. Creatures we cannot see them, and they have special abilities, and they have supernatural abilities. It is stated in the Holy Quran that so all of Muslims believe in jinns, and even the Quran says about jinns a lot of stories. Like there is a story about jinns were around King Solomon that put another seat of power of a different kingdom to Solomon's in a plank of iron. So they have an ability, supernatural abilities. And like Arshak says, they can control humans or a way or another manipulate humans because of that special abilities and their power of magic they pursue. So Jinn is probably in Mirage would be like that way, that representation of Jinn is. We say they come to the not so faithful Muslims or not so faithful humans who can mostly be manipulated by Jinns. So it very much relates to the character of Bassem, that he might be at the beginning of the game. I don't know exactly, but he can manipulate him.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Jinns are like an amorphous kind of entities. Like, they can take the shape of humans or animals. We've already seen what the djinn's form is going to be in AC Mirage, kind of like a skull like figure.
He looked pretty terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks pretty terrifying.
I can add to this point that yes, it might take and a murderer or a شخص a person who had been killed so sometimes in the Arabic fictions,
like someone who and I'm just hypothetically saying this, I don't know if it's going to happen in the story or not, just to save my ass.
Of course, you were just speculating. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe like Bassem kills someone and this person haunts him, but like Loki is just having him think that it's the person that he killed.
See, from the beginning, from the first mention of the djinn in the marketing, I honestly just thought, well, that's the representation, or like that's the bridge between Bassem being Bassem and Bassem being Loki.
Exactly.
Before Loki actually gets a proper hold of him. Like, this is the bridge between. So I reckon by the end of the game, possibly, Loki will be in full control.
Exorcisms have like also taken place of like people will recite some words from the Quran over a person and to basically physically beat the djinn out of them. So I don't know if
Arshak, just say that sentence again. Because that was interesting, and I want to make sure I heard it. It sounded like you said you will beat the djinn out of them, but maybe I misunderstood.
Yes.
So like literally beating the djinn out of them. The djinn. thing. Don't cut the djinn out of your life. It's important.
Yes, djinn is good for you. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Djinn and djinn. That could be an inside joke. Okay. So, like these.
Sorry, mate. You're making me laugh now. What were we talking about? Yes. Sorry.
These like physical beatings would take place in like some circles it would take place in like some circles if they thought the person is like possessed by the djinn. Now Roshan knows that this guy Bassem that she's teaching is possessed by a djinn, probably. Will that lead
well,
her beating the djinn out of out of Bassem?
Have any of you read, because it's available in early access, have any of you read Daughter of No One?
Not yet.
Okay. I think it comes out early November or October. I haven't finished it yet. I have to be honest. I've read the first four chapters. I'm about a quarter of the way through. It's not a really long book, but it's... I have to say it's so well written. It's brilliant. It's just that I've been so busy with work and other things, I haven't finished it, but I do want to finish it, especially before we play Mirage. And Roshan, for me, was straight away just such an interesting character to see in the trailer, to see her sparring with Bassem, and to hear Shoray's voice as well. My word, that woman's voice is amazing. Anyway, I just think she's already a fascinating and an enigmatic character. But Roshan, as explained in... This isn't a spoiler for the book, and it's not really a spoiler because you probably could guess it. And it's only the first few chapters. Anyway, Roshan's ability, she can see additional things, kind of the way that the Eagle Vision would have been shown in AC1, AC2.
Spoiler alert, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, that made me feel bad. Come on, this is pertinent to the conversation. Right, oh, man, I feel bad now. Anyway, Roshan's Eagle Vision is natural, it's inherent, and it's strong. She can see things that others definitely can't. And the way that the book is hinting that her. I've been watching a lot of Star Wars, and I'm heading into like Anakin and Ahsoka territory here. But sorry, this is a totally different topic.
It's
possible that Roshan's abilities are extraordinary, or certainly sort of top tier of all the hidden ones of the time. So it's possible that she does see something in Basim that others don't. And maybe he doesn't even realize.
I can add that the creature of Jenny the Jens may be an evil or good. They may be an believer in God or not. So there is an evil Jens and a good Jens. Probably she can, Roshan, way or another, she can. Most people, or a very large segment of people in back then in the Abbasid Caliphate or the Middle East, they can tell if someone possessed by a jinn or not, simply by small little clues. So she might seem with a special ability, or might see it by a behavior by Basim or something like that. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, those of you listening to this episode, we just release the audio. We don't release any video. And today we are recording with our cameras on, and we can see Arshak's beautiful face on the video call. Now, as the three of us, Chris, myself, and Shadi, are speculating about what's in the game, we've got to watch Arshak really closely to see if his face gives us any clues as to whether we're right or not. But he's got a very good poker face. I just want to assure all of the lawyers at Ubisoft that he has a very good poker face.
I'm editing something right now to like...
Excuse me. Are you not giving this your full attention? This is shocking.
Hey, I'm a multitasker. You know that.
Oh, he's always editing something.
We'll have to set a test at the end to see how much attention Arshak was paying. Sorry, Shadi.
What did you say?
But what you said there was really interesting point, Shadi. So the way that, of course, we've only seen a few game trailers. We've only seen the djinn for a few seconds on screen.
Yeah.
It did not look like a benevolent, kind, happy experience. It looked terrifying. But you're saying that they can actually be forces of good, or spirits of good.
There is a djinns who abide by God, or like they are faithful. There is creatures like us. There is a good in them and an evil in them. So we might see that bad one possess Basim. And only bad ones possess human or manipulate humans. So, and the djinn we saw, he was like sort of similar to a mummy, may I say, or
yes,
someone
yes.
like, yeah, someone like we can guess in which shape or in which character does this djinn portrays or something like that. But I think djinns, when they appear to humans, they appear to them in a meaningful way, or someone they already know and now we probably dead, so it appears in a dead person or an angry soul. We in Arabian culture think like that.
That gives the writers a lot of flexibility.
Yes.
They can use this spirit.
Yes, exactly.
In quite a few different ways, if they want to.
I have talked to Sarah Beaulieu about, like, you know, the djinn character, and what she has told me has kind of like I cannot wait to experience it, because this woman is just so good in like writing the material. Like, I cannot wait to see what she has come up with as like a narrative director for this story. Like, because it's a story, again, to go back to where we started from. It's a story that respects the culture. And these people have done their research. So like, we're in good hands to have an amazing story being told.
I remember this line from Bastian in the last chapter, spoilers of who didn't see or play the last chapter of DLC. He came a very specific sentence within he say or described how he dealt with the thing inside him. He said that it was a little bit intense at the first, but it came to a mutual understanding between them to pass him and the thing inside it. So it gives a more and a little confusion about if that the djinn is the same thing we've seen in Loki or it's a different thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that phrase that he said was so interesting, wasn't it? And of course, Darby's a smart guy. He probably wrote it knowing that you could interpret it however you want as the player. But that was fascinating. I can't wait to see that side of the story and how does Basim grow? Does Basim, as he develops his skill as an assassin, does that sort of increase his connection to this spirit, or is it with every assassination? You know, he feels like he's going down a darker path and it reveals this spirit to him, or he's haunted by the spirit. You know, we've got all this to look forward to. We've only got 2 weeks.
Yes, can wait.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you you a question then, Shadi and Arshak. We'll hear from you, Shadi, first. So is there anything you've seen in Mirage that you're worried about, or anything that you think maybe isn't as good as it could be, or are you pretty happy with what you've seen?
I'm pretty satisfied and happy. The only thing that may have my woes already settled, like the faithful representation or like these small details that maybe have a religious side of us, like a Muslim community or Arabian community. But so far, we had no issues in it. Even the feedback we hear from our local community or local fans, they have absolutely no issues. They're proud of the game, like us. So every concern I had, it went down when further details revealed. So I'm pretty happy and satisfied with the output we had, given the things the developers have in hand. So I'm pretty satisfied.
Very good. What about you, Arshak? Anything you've seen that concerns you?
I'm really satisfied with the game. I cannot wait to have it in my hands. The only thing the game is missing is like a discovery tour. I think, but I mean, again, that just gives me a challenge to create my own discovery tour in the country I grew up in. So that's a welcome challenge. Like,
that will be narrated by Shadi and Assassin M and everyone else from your Middle Eastern.
If anyone wants to like collaborate with me, please hit me up, because, you know, I always love collaborations.
I'm definitely in, and can't wait to see you soon. So it would be probably a very good, very amazing project for you, Ashok, and I would be honored to be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Thanks. Like, it will be so amazing to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ah, guys,
let's go.
So close. We're so close.
We are. God. It's been a long. I mean, this is the longest gap between. I mean, I know Valhalla had three DLCs and game modes, but if we're just talking about game releases, this is the longest gap between mainline game releases since 2007, which kind of blows my mind. It's 3 years since Valhalla was released, you know. Players, we've there's been plenty of transmedia in the last couple of years, and some of it's been excellent. There's been a lot of, the amount of transmedia board games and all the rest of it, I can't keep up with it, but, you know, there's been plenty of content, but yeah, we haven't had an actual game to get our hands on in 3 years. So, you know, it's, yeah.
I'd say here's the thing with it. So for Assassin's Creed Mirage to like just cook for like that 1 year where we just had the CGI trailer. Fans were getting kind of upset, like, oh, where's Assassin's Creed Mirage? Where's Assassin's Creed Mirage? I think, and dude, like, I believe in the fact that if we let the developers just cook, you know, cook the game up and then have us be surprised by it, like, that's so amazing. Yeah. I think one of the aspects that makes Mirage so great is its marketing recently. Like, they keep giving us these like tidbits of like information, especially surprising us with like that PlayStation experience was like what's Mirage doing here? But it was, what's Mirage doing here, looking so freaking beautiful? It's an experience I'm not gonna forget. This whole experience, and I'm so glad that as a community, I'm talking about, like, you know, let's talk Assassin's Creed. Scholars of the Creed, Nasser's Egyptian Bureau over there. Like, we have a voice to talk about this game, and, like, you know, people will listen to our impressions, and that is a very fortunate thing to have. You know, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to talk about this game and for people to like see my reactions about this game.
It's super like a reward for us, something like that,
huh?
She's like a reward.
Yeah, exactly. But anywho, how about you, James? What are your thoughts? We've been talking about this in terms of what Chris, Shadi, and I think, but like, can you give us a bit of your thoughts before we sign out?
Well, I suppose some of the detail, there'll be things that you and Shadi will see in the game or hear in the game that I simply wouldn't notice because I don't read or speak Arabic, or I don't know the history of the caliphate and things like that. So some aspects will be different for me. Probably likewise when you were playing Syndicate and walking around London and different things, you know, maybe some bits would be missing, but that's a separate thing. So generally, I'm actually, although I made the comment about it being 3 years between games, I would much rather the games are released when they're ready. There's no need for an annual or a every two year release cycle. There have been two, I mean, Valhalla did not release in a good technical state. There have been too many AAA releases, especially on PC over the last couple of years, that have released in very poor states. So I would much rather dev teams are given the time by their directors and their executives to get the game to a good standard, get it, you know, reliable, make sure everything works well. Everything we've seen from the dev diaries, you know, detection appears to be working, which is nice. We're going to be able to really work the crowds and work the guards. And it's like a proper sandbox where you can play in and you can use these stealth tools. We haven't had proper stealth tools since, I suppose, Syndicate. I mean, Origins, you had sleep darts and smoke bombs, but you know, this is going to be like you said, Shadi, a while ago. Return to the roots. You know, we've got a range of tools. We've got some targets in fantastic kind of set pieces. I can't wait to experience that mixture of new but also old style Assassin's Creed. I can't wait just to, I think we said this when I was chatting with Chris in the last episode, I can't wait just to turn the HUD off and walk through the city, you know, and just feel the atmosphere.
And the city of Baghdad, exactly, it's a perfect city to implement this strategy or these ideas, and given the stealth techniques and the gameplay we have, it's a perfect match.
Yeah, indeed. So I'm looking forward to it. It's strange because I haven't actually played an Assassin's Creed game in a long, long, long time. We're going to play Unity a bit later tonight, do a bit of co-op. But yeah, so this will be, I've been playing so many other games. This will be going back to Assassin's Creed for me for the first time in, I can't even remember how long, 9 months or something. So yeah.
It's interesting. You have an Assassin's Creed account, and yet you don't play it.
But here's the thing, right? Other video games do exist.
Exactly,
you know?
And, yeah.
it's sometimes good to stretch your gaming muscles, you know? Anyway, I see your critical look, mate. I see it. Don't worry. Man, I can't believe I'm getting dumped on here. Unbelievable.
No. I'm playing Fortnite a lot nowadays just to de-stress. But, you know, Assassin's Creed is also there. My sister was playing Hogwarts Legacy the other day, and somehow she managed to delete all the Assassin's Creed games.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I'm like, sis, WTF. Like, but luckily, like, the save points didn't. We're not screwed. So, like, I don't start from zero.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, I think this would be a good point to sign out, right?
I think so. Chris, you wanted to make a final comment?
No, that's all good. It's nice to hear the opinions of people from that part of the world, because beforehand I've done a little bit of research into some of the stuff in Baghdad, and I mean, it's confusing to say the least. So I can't wait to actually see what Ubisoft have done with it, and yeah, it'll be good. Can't wait.
Yeah, let's hear some closing thoughts from you, Shadi. What thoughts do you want to leave us with?
I want to deliver a message to the people who will try Mirage on October the 5th. You will have this amazing city with amazing and very very lively city. It's very controversial city in terms of political and religious and cultural, a rich city with what can we say? This time period of Mirage, sitting in 861, So it happens during the anarchy of Samara. So we have this period of unstable political instance or caliphates changing every year. A lot of conspiracies, a lot of hidden figures, Turkish armies, and the pursuit of the power. And we will see a rich story and rich world. Give it attention to every detail. So some people, they were very tired and give amount of time to research and put that much of details, that amount of details in the game to create it perfectly well. So enjoy it. Enjoy it as much as you can. It would be unforgettable story. So yeah, that's it. Enjoy it.
And I think that is a very nice way to end the show. So gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us and giving us your opinions and your thoughts on what you've seen so far. And yeah, like Shadi said, I can't wait to play it, and I'm looking forward to enjoying it. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you soon.